Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 35. I didn't check my records, but I'm going to repeat a sermon. I do know Mrs. DeLong was preacher's secretary when I preached this message the last time, so I think it's been a while. That's some ancient names there. Don't tell them I said they were ancient, but Exodus chapter 35, we'll begin reading in verse 4. We'll work through the passage from verse 4, but rather than read the whole passage and then go back through it, let's go ahead and go to chapter 36, verse 7. So the text is 35:4 through 36:7, so we don't want to read the whole text standing responsively. Just verse 7. For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Too much. That's the title of the message. Giving an offering is in the scriptures beginning in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel brought an offering to the Lord. That's the first that I could see offering brought, but it's pretty early there in the scriptures. And giving, Abraham gave tithes in Genesis chapter 14. But we come, I think it's here in Exodus chapter 35 that we see the first, let's say the first authorized corporate offering. There was an offering taken a few chapters before. Remember, Aaron said, "Bring me some things," and that was not a good collection. But here we have the first corporate offering that I could find in scriptures, and I think there's a tremendous it's a great passage. It's very exciting, I think, if you just stop and think about certain things that are said in it, and hopefully I can convey that to you as we work through this message, this passage tonight. I have just some thoughts as we go through the passage, and then some ideas to share at the end. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask that you would help us to see how it applies to us today. It's very easy, even for myself, to want to understand it, but to leave it in the time when it was written. And yet we know that your word is not just a book that was written a long time ago. It's still alive today. It's the only book of its kind. It speaks to us today. It convicts us. It convinces us. It challenges us. It teaches us. And we ask that you would help us to be submissive to your word and to the things that are given to us from it this night and throughout our lives. We ask that you'd be glorified and honored by what is said. Help us to magnify your word and its importance in our lives through this message tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So if we go back to Genesis chapter 35 and look in verse 4, we have the beginning of this event in the life of the nation of Israel, the new nation of Israel, just called out of Egypt to be God's people. And Moses spoke in verse 4, and Moses spoke unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from amongst you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass," and there's a great variety of gifts that were that it continues. So we have gold, silver, brass. That's a certain type of material, and then blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen. That's another type of material, and goat's hair, and ram's skins dyed red, and badger skins. That's another kind of material. And shittim wood, another type of material, and oil for the light. And then spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. And onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. So we have first here an offering announced. We need to take up an offering. We need these things. And as I've thought about this and think about what the Bible tells us, it appears to me that in that, and I'm going to use modern words, but in that wilderness community, we'll call it a community, some had substance that they could give. Now, I'm using that word community, but I want us to think a little bit about that idea. Because, I don't know, at least me, I think, oh, the children of Israel walked through, you know, I went through the wilderness for a couple of hours one time on a trip in Israel. And, you know, there was 40 of us. There was like 2 million here. So that's, just think about what was there for there to be 2 million people. They didn't just throw their tents up wherever they wanted to. There was organization. They got more organization as the Bible goes forward, tells them where their camp should be. But I'll bet some people had skills that others didn't. It seems to me they bartered. They had a community there. There was a bunch of them. So I want us to think that way. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think so. I don't think it was just Moses in front of 2 million people. I think there was organization. And in that community, there was people that whatever they had from Egypt or whatever they took from Egypt, they had material substance that they could give. And the Bible says those with a willing heart did. Those with a willing heart. Or it says, whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering to the Lord. Now, we're not in the wilderness and we're not in Israel. We're in the church. We're in a New Testament church. And in the New Testament church, 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God here wanted those that had a willing heart to give. And today, God loves a cheerful giver. He doesn't want us to give grudgingly. Okay, the Bible says it, so I've got to give it. He wants a cheerful giver. And then if we continue through the passage in verse 10, it says, and every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded. And so the next verses give the list of the items that were needed. So they needed material substance, and now we're going to use that material substance to make these things. The tabernacle, his tent and his covering, the tatches and his boards, his bars, his pillars. So the tabernacle is given the masculine pronoun there. And his sockets. So that's just the list of things needed for the tabernacle. There's a lot of different things needed. It took different skills to be able to put those things together, to be able to create those things or make those things from the raw or differently formed substances that were donated. So there was also in verse 12, the ark and the staves thereof with the mercy seat and the veil of the covering, the table and his staves and all his vessels, and the showbread, the candlestick also for the light, and his furniture and his lamps with the oil for the light, and the incense altar and his staves and the anointing oil and the sweet incense and the hanging of the door at the entering in of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering with his brazen grate, his staves and all his vessels, the laver and his foot, the hangings of the court, his pillars and their sockets, and the hangings for the door of the court, the pins of the tabernacle and the pins of the court and their cords, the clothes of service to do service in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office. So there's a whole lot of different types of materials needed here. It takes different kinds of skill to make these things. And Moses said, every wise-hearted among you, and that wise can have the meaning of skill, skillful-hearted, wise-hearted among you shall come and make. So everybody that wanted to, that had a willing heart and was wise-hearted, could come and make everything, all that the Lord had needed. In that community of people, in the children of Israel that were drawn out of the land of Egypt, some had skill, they had wisdom that they could give. And those willing and wise-hearted gave their abilities. Now today, in our church, we don't live in the wilderness. We don't live in the land of Israel. But Romans 12, verses 3 through 8 says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy. Now these gifts are mostly what we'd call spiritual gifts, but there's definitely, I don't want to say worldly, but mundane of this world type of abilities listed here. And there's times when the church, our church, churches need physical abilities too. But either way, the principle holds true that we have gifts. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teaches on teaching. Or he that exhorts on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness. And so we have the Old Testament example here of this big offering, we would say. Kind of big offering. And people who had a willing heart and they had a wise heart, they had skill, and they gave those things and their services. And in verse 20, then, to continue in the passage, the Bible says, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. I don't know what he felt like then. He just said, we need this big offering, and they all left. But I think the next verse came very quickly after that. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up. So it seems to be that it's an immediate response. It wasn't like a, well, that's interesting. Interesting is really, it's a really, really handy word. Right, Brother Shriver? I've noticed he uses that word, and I've copied him often. People will say something to you, and you feel like you're supposed to say that's good, or get angry about it, and you can just say, oh, that's interesting. Very non-committal. Very non-committal. So if you ask Brother Schreiber or me something, and we say, well, that's interesting, you know, that we might not really be interested. We're just trying to get out of that conversation. Sorry to cover, at least me. Don't think that way about Brother Schreiber. Anyway, I don't think people, well, you know what? I think probably some people, actually, I think some people did leave and say, that's interesting. I want to point something out as we go into this further. I think some other people left and said, I wonder how that's going to be taken care of. But there were some. Everyone whose heart stirred him up. There were some who had stirred hearts, and there were some who had willing spirits. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. There were some whose hearts stirred them up, and there were some whose spirits made them willing, and they brought the Lord's offering. I think that's interesting that all the way back here in Exodus, the Bible calls it the Lord's offering. It was his offering. The people brought it, but it's almost like they brought the Lord's offering. And the Bible teaches us that the tithe is the Lord's. And it seems like the offering, as soon as we purpose in our heart that it's God's, it's God's. In the New Testament, so every man as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, but it's God's. And in fact, everything we have is God's. Israel, Jacob, went into Egypt with great wealth. And he was joined to his son, who was second in command in the land. But by the time they left, they were slaves. They had no freedom. They couldn't just do what they wanted. If they wanted to just do what they wanted, they would have just left. We wouldn't have needed 10 plagues and all of that. But they couldn't. They couldn't just leave. They couldn't do anything. And so everything that they had was God's. Whatever they brought to God came from God in the first place. And that's something that we really should remember. Everything we have, every ability that we have, and really that's in our culture where there's so much natural resources just pouring off the shelves and stores and all, it is the abilities that we have to quite easily get money and buy those things. We need to remember those are from God. And just as easy as a tornado could come through and take our house away from us, a little micro biological something, Mrs. Wright could tell me, what could crawl down our ear and take every ability that we have away from us in a very short amount of time. Everything we have, all the material we have, all the abilities that we have come from God. And so verse 22, just continuing through the passage, says, verse 22, and they came, both men and women, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought, listen to what they brought. Now remember what it was that they needed. Listen to what they brought. And they brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. So we see here that it was the ladies were also involved in this offering. And we see that they took nice things, things that were nice, and they gave them up for the needs of the tabernacle. We are so rich in America. And I only know this because I know it's true. I've hardly experienced. I've visited other countries now and then, but we are rich. Even if we are, even the most dull American has so much more than 95% of the rest of the world. And so we're rich. It shouldn't be any great sacrifice to give up that special thing when the Lord's work has a need. Most likely, all of these things were from the hand of God's providence. We kind of mentioned that already when we said that they were slaves. Exodus 12, 35 and 36, when they finished eating the Passover and they left Israel, the children of Israel, Exodus 12, 35, and the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they lent unto them such things as they required. And the Bible says this, and they spoiled the Egyptians. Now, you kids, that's not the kind of spoiling that your grandpa does. This is the spoils of war. They took whatever they wanted. They took everything they wanted. Like a king from Assyria coming into Jerusalem and saying, I want that, and I want that, and I'm taking it with me. Or coming to Samaria, to Ahab, and whatever. Whatever you want to think of, it's that kind of spoiling. And the children of Israel took what they wanted, whatever they wanted. And the Bible says, and I don't know, the Bible says, the Lord gave them favor in the eyes of the Egyptians. I don't know if the Egyptians really thought they were coming back or if they just really wanted them to leave. I don't know how God worked it out, but he let them take the spoils of war with them on their way out. But all that they had was because God gave them favor in the eyes of the Egyptians. It was because God gave them those things. They had everything. Now, today, in our church, in the New Testament church, God prospers us regularly. He prospers us regularly. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2 says, "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." So in this passage, the instruction is to bring every week, on the first day of the week, the church would meet. And lay by him in store means lay at the church in store, so that when Paul comes, there's no special gatherings. Paul had said, we want to take this collection and all this. And he's saying, so now, first day of the week, just bring it and leave it there. First day of the week, bring it and leave it there. First day of the week, bring it and store it there, so that when I come and we want to take this offering to Judea, Jerusalem, we don't have to take a special offering. First day of the week, here it's weekly. In our lives, we are prospered. We get the profit from our labors at different rates. Some people get paid twice a month. Some people get paid every 2 weeks. Some people get paid once a month. Some people get paid when they finish the job, which means 6.5 years later. All the construction guys out here. But it happens at different times. But God prospers us. And when he prospers us, we're to give. As God hath prospered him. So we were saying, let me find my verse again. And we talked about the rings and the tablets. And then verse 23. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. So remember, there's different types of materials needed. And different people brought different things. Because they had different things. And that's true today. We have different amounts of wealth, different types of wealth. I'll just use that word because we're wealthy, but whatever you want to call it, riches or money or whatever, we have different types of things. In verse 23, with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. And verse 24, everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. So some brought silver, some brought brass, some brought gold, some brought cloth, some brought skins. And every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of service brought it. Some brought wood. I don't know what the wilderness looked like in 1500 BC, but there's not much wood there. So that was probably pretty precious to have wood in the wilderness. So they brought it. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and fine linen. So we see that men and women, and I think it's fair to assume, the Bible doesn't say it, so it's an assumption, I think children got involved. Men and women and children got involved in ways that they could. Now, let's think again. Let's just use our imagination a little bit. Imagine the work that needed to be done. Okay, now take electricity out of the project. No air power. And whatever tools they could have taken from the Egyptians on their way out of town. Now, I think they knew what needed to be done, but I don't know what processes they had with them to do it. I know that they would have needed to melt all those rings. There's no rings and earrings in the tabernacle. So they had to take that, right, and melt it, form it into something else. That takes heat. That takes fire. I bet there were boys that carried ashes away and hauled wood over there. There was people that worked. I think there was a lot of people that gave to this project. They had to turn rings and earrings and tablets and bracelets into forks and tatches and socket and pins and pokers. They had to turn wood into furniture and the scrap pieces they burnt to help melt those things. They had to turn hair and wool and linen. And the clothes of the Egyptians that they took. And I don't know what they did, but they turned those, possibly, they took those, unraveled those clothes and turned them into curtains. And, you know, the different types of curtains. I don't know what primitive processes were involved. How much manpower was needed? There was a lot. There was work for every skill level. Now, Bezalel and Aholiab were very skilled. But I think some of their skill was organizing the labor. There was a lot of different kind of work that needed to be done. But think about how much labor was available. Now, I think it's the tabernacle, the curtain around that made the courtyard for the tabernacle would have easily fit inside of a soccer field. And the actual tent, 30 feet wide. I didn't even look it up, but it's not very big. When there's 600,000 men that could help work on it. There were some, if not many, who had no part in the tabernacle. There had to be. I think there was probably some men, when it was all finished, they received the commandment that they needed to bring a sin offering. They brought their sin offering and they looked around and they thought, wow, this is really something. It's amazing how they put this together here. And there was other men who received the commandment to bring their sin offering. They brought that sin offering and thought, wow, this is something special. I had a part in this. I think that's a little bit of worldly desire, but we're in this world. There's something about being a part of something. I never thought of before this week, putting this together. But there's no way. Even with all the primitive skills needed, there's no way that everybody got involved. There's a lot of people who didn't have a willing heart. That's kind of the key phrase throughout this passage. Those that had a willing heart, whose spirit made them willing. There's a lot of different people. Verse 27, 28 says, and the rulers brought the onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate and spice and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. The Bible says the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and every woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work, which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. These people did not need the Spirit of God to give them a willing heart. Okay, don't call me a heretic. Moses said, this is what needs to be done. If you're doing what God needs to be done, do you need the Holy Spirit to tell you to do what God needs to be done when God's told you to do it? Do you need the Holy Spirit to tell you to obey the Bible? Well, the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. They had a willing heart. God's work had his need, and their heart made them willing. I'm going to skip through the next few verses where it talks about Bezalel and Aholiab. I think that's how I say his name, Bezalel and Aholiab. And their helpers, that's through Acts chapter 36, verse 2. And in verse 3, it's talking about the helpers. So in verse 3 of chapter 36, the helpers, they and the helpers received of Moses all the offering of the sanctuary to make it withal, and they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. So God's work was directed through God's man. The offering came to Moses, and then Moses distributed to the workers what needed to be done. It's interesting, in the New Testament, offerings are given through the church. God accomplishes his work of evangelism and through the church. I'm not saying you can't give to other things. There's plenty of good things to give to, but if you want to give to God's work, you give through the church. The offerings, it says the free offerings, the offerings continued every morning. So they brought a bunch in, and somebody else found something else. Oh, I could bring that. They just kept bringing offerings every morning. And in the New Testament church, we give on the first day of the week or with regular frequency. Verse 4 says, and all the wise men that wrought or that worked all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made, and they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. Soon enough, there was more than enough for this tabernacle project. Now, there would be commands later to bring offerings. There was daily offerings. There was tithes and all that. But this big project, very soon, there was more than enough for it. When God's people give with a willing heart, there's enough for God's work to be done well. And so in verse 6, Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So they were making things. So the people were restrained. Isn't that an interesting word? They were restrained from bringing. For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it and too much. Somebody came, at least one person came, and he was turned away. Sorry, Bill. Sorry, George. Just take it back. We don't need it. Now, we could imagine a lot of things like that. Maybe Bill or George had seen everybody else having a good time giving and finally decided, well, I'll give. I don't think so, though, because the Bible talks about them being willing-spirited. But, sorry, you just keep that. We don't need it. In fact, we already have too much. Amazing. Amazing. I haven't said that yet. The Lord blesses us. So, let's just think of a few things as we think back over this passage. I don't know if people sacrificed or not. We know they had a willing spirit, they had a willing heart. I would think they sacrificed. They didn't really have many means to come up with more stuff in the wilderness. So whatever they had, imagine spoiling the Egyptians and thinking, wow, we got this. I might have enough to be set when we finally settle down in Canaan. The Lord wants me to give it. I'm not going to have as much. I don't know. But I will say this, sacrifice is good for us. If they sacrificed, if you sacrifice, when you have sacrificed, when I've sacrificed, it's good for us. It helps us battle that wicked sin of covetousness. The Bible says covetous is idolatry. And it's so easy in our world around us, the bright lights, to want that and want this. And to give something and then because we gave, not be able to get one of those things that we really wanted bad. Maybe we even coveted over it. Coveted it. It's good. It's good for us. Self-denial is good for us. It's good for us. Take up the cross. Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Self-denial is good for us. And gratitude is good for us. Sacrifice is good for us. It helps us with covetousness, self-denial, gratitude, maybe even other things. That's one thought. Another thing that I think that we should think about is that people got involved. They got involved. They made work. I don't know, you know, someday I was thinking about this. You know, some people say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask this and whatever. And, you know, when Job saw God, he had all those questions for 38 chapters. And when he saw God, he was speechless. And I think we might be that way too. But maybe God will let us really let us see all the details, all the things we've wondered about. You know, we got enough here, but we got eternity. Maybe he'll let us see what he did and how he worked all this stuff out in the past. Maybe it'll be so exciting to see God, we won't care about all that. I don't know. But anyway, they made work. The women spun. They did things. They figured out how they could help. They got involved with their hands. They took it upon themselves as a personal duty. And I think that that's something that we should think about. We all have different levels of ability and opportunity. In America, we have so much. But I know, I'm on Facebook. I see the advertisements that come up. I'm a man. I'm a human. That side hustle. If I do this, I see smiles on guys' faces. If I do this, I can do this, make a little extra money, and be able to go on vacation. I do this, make a little extra money, my mortgage will be paid off 5 years earlier. There's good things to do with side hustles. What about a side hustle for God? I'm not saying you're a sinner if your side hustle's for something else, but what about it? Could you, first, let me say, don't go into debt to give to the church. Oh, the church has a need. I'm going to put a second mortgage on my house. And there was, I'm not throwing shade on men who did that in 1971 and 72 and whatever to help this church get off the ground. But we don't have that need right now, at least. Don't go into debt to help the church. If you're in debt, work like crazy. Give the tithe and get out of debt. If all you have is a house and maybe a car debt, you can give more than 10% for sure. If you only have house debt, you can really give more than 10%. If you have no debt, who knows what percent you could give? Really. But maybe you think this way. I could do this little project, and that project could give even more than I could give. There's all kinds of things out there. Some of them you might think are rich, quick things. Get rich, quick schemes. I'm not saying that. But there's so many opportunities with technology. You put some hard work in for a little while, and then you maintain it for an hour, a week, or a month, and you get money coming in. What if you did that for the Lord? You said, this project, I don't know what that is. I mean, what if you bought a house, fixed it up, rented it out, and everything beside, you know, paying the utilities and all that went to the Lord's work? I think that fits right in with what people did here. And I don't think they had houses in the wilderness, but the idea is there. The principle is there. There are a lot of legitimate things. Could you start one for God and give 50% of the net revenue to God, 25% or 100%? I think we should think about what kind of gifts we can bring. There was a lot of different gifts. This is my third thought. A lot of different gifts. Some people brought gold. Some people brought cloth. Some people brought skin. Some people brought brass. There's a lot of different type of gifts. All these types of gifts, we can bring all these. But we could bring maybe a devotional gift. Worship, it's a spiritual thing. We should worship God, but we could bring our worship to Him. We could bring a physical gift, work or service. Here, it was definitely a liberal gift. It was an abundant. There was too much. I think it was ingenious. They used their mind. They thought about, what can I do? What can I do that will allow me to give something? They tried ideas. The last thought before we conclude I want to mention is, what can stir your heart to give? The Bible says they had a willing heart. Their spirit was stirred. What can stir our heart? I think we all could come up with, probably many of you already have two or three things in your mind, but let me just mention some. I think first of all is love for God. He saved us. He saved us. He saved our family. He's given us a family. He's given us abilities. He's given us fellowship. He's given us this church. And we could just, wasn't hard to think of those few things. And for all that, we should love him. Another thing that might stir our heart to give is a desire to be in God's presence. Now, I don't want us to think that we can purchase our way into God's presence. But throughout the Bible, it talks about when you visit a king, you bring a present. If you came to the tabernacle once it was finished, you had to bring a sin offering, but that wasn't the only reason you'd come. You'd come to bring a burnt offering, to dedicate yourself to the Lord, or to bring a thank offering. And bringing that offering brought you into his presence. Hearts could be stirred to give because of gratitude. That's kind of related to the love, but because of gratitude for his deliverance, for his provision. How much do we have? All of that is from God. Our hearts could be stirred to give because we have faith in his promises. He promised, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. See if I do not pour you out a blessing. He's got promises. We could be stirred to give because we trust the Lord and we're going to obey him. So just as we finish up, let's just think about this. Have you ever been restrained from giving? The second to last verse. So the people were restrained from giving. For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it and too much. Now I understand there's not an exact correlation. This was a project. And later on, they got their opportunities to continue to give. But I think it's worth asking, have you ever been restrained from giving? Because when I think, no, I've never been restrained from giving. I sometimes have to make myself give. Some people need that implied threat to keep giving. You know, if you don't give, you can't participate in certain things in the church. Some people need implored in a very clinical sense. Why does a church need a stewardship month? We should just give. But we're human beings. We need a steward. We need to be reminded what the Bible says. But I don't know. What do you need to keep giving? Nothing. Great. But if you're a human being, the world is clawing at you. It's showing you the latest version, the latest edition, the latest model of something that you need to get. And those things will draw us away from giving to the Lord's work or being able to give. You know, what if just be a little farcical. What if some Hebrew man had just spent all his rings and earrings that he'd gotten from the Egyptians on the latest iPhone the day before Moses said, we need this special offering? He couldn't have. Even if he was willing, he couldn't have. I don't know of any special offering. We don't have a $5 million special offering we're going to announce next week. There's a lot of things in this passage that should help remind us of where we should be and what our relationship with money should be and what our relationship with God should be in relation to our money. Take these things and allow the Holy Spirit to apply them to our lives. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your word. And I do pray that with so much that we have, that we don't get distracted by trying to get a little bit more so that we can do something more for ourselves. At the same time, Lord, there's so much that you can do with the resources that we can produce. I pray that you would give us wisdom, give us a soft heart, give us a willing heart to produce to produce and to give the items and the things needed to accomplish your work. Thank you for how you've blessed our church. We have so much. We have beautiful buildings. We have so many buses. We are able to hire many people to help us train our own children and those that come from across the country. We do have a lot, and we thank you for that. I pray that you help us to be able to use the funds that are given and that you would help us as a church to want to give, to have a willing heart for whatever's needed, for whatever's possible for us to do in your will in our church. I pray that you would use this message to challenge and push us along that path. In Jesus' name, amen.